So we're going to get right into the message now. I'm calling We Are is our theme for this month. We Are, because I felt like I was talking to Dave. I said, I feel like we're supposed to spend a month talking about our DNA at Oak River. That's a DNA strand, in case you didn't know. It's kind of pretty, isn't it? We're talking about who we are at Oak River. Who are we? What are we about? You know, what is it about? What does it mean to be part of the Oak River family? And so today, last week, I love the message by Dave. He kicked it off with the Father's love, a message called More. Really inspired me. I loved it. And then today, I want to follow up with a message I'm calling Loved and Loving, because we are, at Oak River, we are loved and loving. We totally are. And it's fun experiencing that. I got to tell you, he mentioned last week, I hope you're not tired of me talking about the love of God, because that's all I ask my message. I'm like, how could, if you've ever tasted the love of God, how could you ever grow tired of talking about it? It makes no sense to me. Because once you get a taste of something really, really good, you don't grow tired of it. In fact, in our scripture today, we're going to get to it. It talks about how the dimensions of God, of the love of God, are so huge. You could talk about it every day for the rest of your life and still not come to the end of it, right? So we are loved. Point number one, we are loved by God. We are loved by God. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Paul says, may the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. I feel like at Oak River, we are on a journey to understand a fuller comprehension of what the love of God looks like, what it tastes like, what it feels like, what it smells like, what it sounds like. We're just on this journey of discovery of what the love of God is, right? The next verse is someone we've used frequently, but I don't know. This is one of my go-to verses, if you know what I mean. I feel like this verse I could come back to over and over and over again and still get something out of it. It's one of those for me. Ephesians 3:14 through 19, Paul says, when I think of all of this, if you want to know what he's thinking of, read before that. Not now, but later. I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. At Oak River, we know that we are loved by God. And we believe in providing as many opportunities for you to experience that as possible. The way that that happens is, point A, we learn about him and his ways. Most of you know that one of the things that God has put inside me is I'm a practical teacher. I love giving people tools. I love teaching people about the love of God and about other stuff. I love it. It's like one of my things. It's one of the things I'm just wired by God to do. It's talking and teaching and training about that. That's one way, learning about him and his ways. But I got to tell you, friends, if we stop there, we are missing out. That's not enough by itself. It's just not. It's just not. Think of one of your kids, and they said, hey, Mom, I don't really need to spend any time with you. I'm just going to read about you on Facebook. Mom, don't really need to spend any time with you. Don't need to hang out. Don't need to have dinner. Don't need to go to vacation together. Don't need any of that stuff. because after all, someday somebody will probably write something about you, and I'll just read that. In fact, just give me your journals and I'll read your journals. How about that? Yeah, that's good. That would not be enough for me. I'd be like, I love that you want to know about me, but I want you to encounter times with me too. Like experiences, encounters. It's important that we spend time together. And so the point B under learning that you're loved by God is encounters with Him. We provide at least three different ways for that to happen here at Oak River, but we encourage you to take these tools and encounter Him outside these walls too. But the first way is corporate worship. You know, you want to know why our worship is 45 minutes long or however long it is? You want to know why? Here's why. Because worship is a perfect opportunity for you to have an individual encounter with God. Here's the part of the equation that we don't talk about a whole lot. God is always ready and willing to encounter you, but you have to open up your heart to let it happen. He doesn't command you to come in, and He doesn't say, I'm going to knock you down and knock some sense into you. He goes, will you open your heart to me? Because I would love to meet you there. Right? That's why we provide a longer worship experience than most churches do. Because we believe so strongly in the encounter with the Father. When you meet Him, everything changes. When you encounter Him, everything changes. Everything in your life that's weighing you down suddenly shrinks in comparison to His greatness. That's why we sing about Him, we sing to Him, we say, I'm in over my head, but that's okay, I give you everything. That's why, because it's an encounter with Him. It's an encounter with His goodness. That's who we are. We're loved by God, and we want to provide ways to learn about Him, and we want to provide encounters with Him through corporate worship, through personal experience. I can't stress this enough. There have been times in my life when I've encountered the Father in a personal experience. This morning in my devotions, I was kind of whining to Him. I'm like, God, I'm just tired. I'm tired of waiting, you know? I'm tired. There's several areas of my life that are big that I feel like I'm waiting for, you know? I was like, God, I'm tired. You know what He said to me? Not with an audible voice. I think that would be cool if that ever happened someday. But in my heart, He just whispered in my heart. He called me sweet child of mine, which is kind of crazy. He said, sweet child of mine, I know you're tired. He said, why don't you crawl up in my lap and take a nap? And when you wake up, we'll be there. I was like, immediately my mind flashed back to family vacations. And I'd be like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there? And my mom and dad, just honey, go to sleep. Relax. Go to sleep. When you wake up, we'll be there. That's what the Father said to my heart this morning. You see, that's a personal experience. It's hard to share because it is so personal, but I want to explain to you how personal your Father wants to be with you, how much He loves you, and how He wants to talk to you like a sweet child of His. He longs to have that kind of interaction with you. And then number three, family times. I didn't know what else to call them. Family times. That could be spiritual family at Oak River, or it could be physical family. God wants to encounter you in smaller settings, but with groups of people that you love and feel connected to. He loves that. He loves when little groups get together and you talk about Him and you share with each other and you encourage each other and you challenge it. He loves that. You can encounter God in those moments. But I don't want to spend all my time on that, because I really feel called to move on to point number two. Like, this is really the crux of the message in my heart this week. Point number two, we are loved by God and we are loving people to life. We are loving people. You've heard of, I love you to death, honey. I just love you to death. Well, we love you to life. We just love you to life, right? We love each other to life. Now, point A, we're going to talk all about next week. So I'm not even going to talk about it today, loving unbelievers. Because I don't think we can learn how to love unbelievers well until we learn how to love each other well. So that's what we're going to deal with. John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus is talking here. That's why it's in red. I think it's in red. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. What? We've heard that our whole lives, but I don't know, somehow we get lost in that. But the way that we love each other here in our church family, the way we love each other is living proof to the world that Jesus is who he says he is. John 15, 12 through 17 says, this is my commandment. Again, Jesus talking. A couple chapters later, as you can see. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater life or love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And this week, as I was reading that, I've heard that verse my whole life. And I think about soldiers. For some, that obviously, that comes to my mind. Soldiers who have given their all. You know, and I think, oh, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life, right? And this week, I felt like the Lord said, what if it's not laying down someone's life in death, but laying down someone's life, life. In other words, what if when I choose to love you, I put my own desires aside, I put my own needs aside and sacrifice them for you? What if that's what love looks like too? Obviously today, most of you know, is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. And I was thinking about it this morning and I was grieving just the loss of life that happened that day. But you know what I also remember about that day? The way our country came together. Where suddenly on that day, Democrat, Republican made no difference. White, black made no difference. Believer, non-believer, no difference. We were all together comforting each other in our sadness. What if loving each other looks more like that without the tragedy? You know? What if we love each other to life? What if in here, not just in here in this building, but as a group of believers, we learn how to love each other that way? Verse 34, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. I find it really interesting that he ties our ability to love each other well with lasting fruit. Because I'm 53 years old and I've been in the church my whole life. My dad was a pastor. And I've been around believers long enough to see when people blow in, blow up, and blow out. There's no lasting fruit from that. There's not. But when a group of people who are different in every way, who socioeconomically, backgrounds, racially, I mean, family experiences in every way, when those people come together and learn how to love each other well, that's lasting fruit. That produces lasting fruit that will not just last for our generation, but for the next generation, for the next generation. I mean, it's lasting fruit. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. He sandwiched all that in between love each other. Love each other. Then we'll figure out how to love the world. Let's love each other. Listen, it's hard. It's hard. I honestly feel like, it's harder to learn how to do this than almost anything in life. Maybe than anything in life. It's hard to learn how to love each other well. But I started reading this book a couple of weeks ago called Keep Your Love On by Danny Silk. Keep Your Love On. I would just highly, highly recommend that if you have a history of broken relationships, if you have a history of burning bridges, if you come in and you make really good friends and then something happens and you find yourself not with those friends and then in another group trying to make new friends, if you find yourself repeating that pattern, get that book and read it. It will be good for your marriage if you're married. It'll be good for your kids. It'll be good for everybody in your life. I just recommend it. And two of the points he makes in there, I'm getting from him. Point number one, I am powerful to control myself. If we're going to love each other well, we need to figure out that we are powerful to control ourselves, but we are powerless to control others. I am so convinced that an overwhelming majority of the offenses, hurt feelings, broken hearts in our lives and our experiences come from the fact that we try to control someone else instead of controlling ourselves. God never gave us authority to control someone else. He didn't do that. He didn't even control. When he created Adam and Eve in the garden, he could have said, I'm not putting the tree of knowledge of good and evil in there. That way they won't have a choice. They will just know that I'm awesome and they'll worship me and we'll be friends forever. Best friends forever. No. Nope, I'm not going to do that, he said. I'm putting the choice in there. I'm giving them a choice. I will not control them. I heard something last week that rocked my world a little bit. This pastor said, God is not in control. And I went, oh, sacrilege. He said, God is not in control. He's in charge, but he's not in control. Because if he were in control, he wouldn't let anybody ever do anything bad. He is in charge. And he can use anything. He can use anything. But he's not in control. Kind of wrecked a couple of my songs I grew up with. I am powerful to control myself. I am powerless to control you. Number two, my number one goal in relationships is building and protecting connection. My number one goal in relationships is building, is getting that other person saved. That's my, no, no. My number one, because you see, here's why. Because if you come to someone and you say, my number one goal with you is getting you saved, what are you doing? See, point number one. You're trying to control someone else instead of controlling yourself. Are you better than God? Are you bigger than God? Because God doesn't do that. He provides lots of invitations. Come, I want you to be with me. But he doesn't say, thou shalt. You know, he doesn't do that. I am powerful to control myself. I am powerless to control you. And some of you are like, you are really seriously getting nervous at the thought of that inside. You're like, oh, no, I have to control because if I don't, it'll go bad. Everything will go off the rails if I don't control things. Especially, can I say moms? Am I allowed to say that because I'm a mom? We're used to controlling things. We're used to scheduling things. We know the family routine. We like to be in control because things just run smoother when we're in control. The whole thing falls apart. Right? I'm just being real. I'm keeping it real. What if we said, I am powerful to control me, but I am powerless to control you. Now, I will be honest, I miss the age when my kids could be controlled by me. I literally miss that age. I thought twos were terrible. Twos were so easy. Because I could force them to my way. Not anymore. Now, if you still have two-year-olds, go ahead and control. Because they need guidance. They need it. And it's healthy and good. Right? But when they get older, you got to more and more move back. I know, it's painful, isn't it, Nikki? She made a face. It's painful. You got to more and more move back and say, I am powerful to control me, but I am powerless to control you. I will not raise myself up above God. My number one goal in relationships is building and protecting and keeping connection. Even when we disagree, even when you hurt me, even when you disappoint me, my number one goal is keeping connection. How do we do that? Practical tips from Sandy, because I'm Miss Pragmatic. First of all, live unoffended as much as it's within your power. Live unoffended. Some of us, we live in a constant state of annoyance. We're always annoyed with somebody. What does that tell you? What does it tell me? Because I've been there too. When I find myself continually annoyed with people, at some point I have to look in the mirror and go, honey, what's going on with you? Because you see, I'm powerful to control me, but I'm powerless to control you. And much of my annoyance comes from people who don't fall into my plan. They don't do what I want them to do, right? They would just do it, it would be better, right? Live unoffended, seriously. The more you can let roll off your back, the better. Now, I'm not saying stuff it down. I'm not. God knows it needs to be dealt with. I just think we're quick to deal with things sometimes. Well, some of us have the personality we're very quick to deal with things. Others of us are very slow to deal with things. We need to find somewhere in the middle. Because it's not, if you bury it, it will grow. So if you're burying something negative, it's going to grow negative, a whole lot of more negative. But if you seize on every little thing that offends you, you're going to be one unhappy person for the rest of your life. And it's going to cripple you from accomplishing what God has called you to do and you're passionate to do. Stay filled with grace. I need it. You need it. I need to give it to you. You need to give it to me. We need to be running over with grace so that when you do something that upsets me, I assume the best about you. I don't assume the worst. And then even if you prove to me that it was the worst, then I need to be able to forgive freely and quickly. Just let it go. Let it go. Somebody break out in the song. I don't know it because I don't have girls. And my kids are older anyway. Stay filled with grace. I don't know if you ever watched that show Dharma from years ago. Did you guys ever watch that? She is so funny. I think she's just hilarious. And I haven't seen it in years. But she would do this thing when she would get her feelings hurt. She would say, okay, I'm going to blow it in a bubble. And let it fly away. And sometimes I think that's what we need to do with our little offenses, our little petty issues. We just need to blow it into a bubble. Bye-bye. Jesus can take care of that. Point C, speaking the truth in love. And here's the sad thing about speaking the truth in love. Most of us have created that to mean this. I am sick of the way you do this, this, and this, and this. And I'm just speaking the truth in love. No, you're not. Speaking the truth in love is revealing my heart to you. It's not you statements, it's I statements. I feel lonely when we don't get to spend time together. Do you see how different that is than, you never spend time with me? That's different. It's different. I'm bearing my heart to you. I'm bearing my heart, the part that I can control, to you. When I'm doing you statements, what am I doing? I'm trying to control you. You need to change. If we're going to be connected, you have to change. No, that is not God's way. You look at his example, that's not God's way. Speaking the truth in love. And then point D, this is funny because it just really came to me during worship on Wednesday night. Man, if you missed it, whew, it was good Wednesday night. We had a great worship night, pop-up worship. Can't wait to have another one, but no pressure, but can't wait to have another one. Just saying. So good. But this came to me. Avoid becoming a porcupine, an armadillo, or a rabbit. What? What are you talking about? When we have conflict in a relationship, when we have disappointment in a relationship, most of us become one of three things: a porcupine, an armadillo, or a rabbit. What do porcupines do? They put all their quills out. Don't come near me, you will get hurt. You know what I learned this week, though, in studying this? Porcupines actually have a natural antibiotic that's on the end of their quill so that if you get stuck by them, you won't get sick. Pretty interesting, right? But don't come near me because I'll hurt you. Some of us become porcupines in conflict. Everywhere around us is a quill. Like sticking out, don't hurt me, or I will hurt you. Some of us don't do that. We become an armadillo. And we don't have these kind of armadillos in this country, but I read about them because I knew it was true. There's these things called three-banded armadillos. And when they have conflict, you know what they do? They roll up into a ball. They stick their tail in and then put their head over so that every part of them that you touch is hard shell. They can't be touched where it matters. Some of us become an armadillo when we get our feelings hurt. We just roll up into a hard shell and stay there. I'll tell you a funny story since the kids are in here. When I was in college, a friend and I were taking a walk through the, I went to college in Florida, and a friend and I were taking a walk through a park, and I was like, I have never seen an armadillo before. I would really like to see an armadillo, right? So he was like, hey, armadillo. Hey, come here, armadillo. Hey, armadillo. I'm not kidding you. An armadillo came running out at that moment. We were hysterical. We were like, what? That's not part of the message. It's just a fun story. So don't become a porcupine. Don't become an armadillo in conflict. Don't put up your prickly spines. And don't roll up into a ball and refuse to get touched. And then the last one is don't become a rabbit. What do rabbits do? Do you guys know what rabbits do when they get scared? They do two things. First, what do? Not yet. First, they try another tactic. That's the second thing, though. What's the first thing they do? They freeze. Very close. They freeze. Like this. And I read they can stay still like that for minutes at a time. Not even their breathing can be seen. They stay completely frozen. And then if they are still scared, they run away, like Jenna said. They take off. Some of us, when conflict hits, what do? Maybe they won't notice I'm here. They notice. If we're going to, oh my goodness, I could preach a whole message on the rabbit, I'm telling you. Because I've been in churches, as I've said, my whole life. And I could tell you the number of people who get their feelings hurt, either by a pastor or by an elder or by another church member. And what do? They run to another church. And then they get to that church and they're shocked when somebody disappoints them there and hurts their feelings. And what do? Listen, I'm not making light of injury or wounds. I'm not. I've been wounded too. Okay? We're all walking wounded. But I will not let that keep me from continuing to work at building connection in a relationship. I refuse. I will not run away. I will not turn into a porcupine. I will not turn into an armadillo. It's hard. But God will give us the grace to move from powerless to powerful. He will give us the grace to move from controlling others to self-control. He will give us the grace to move from putting distance between us to building connection between us. He will give us grace to move from fear to love. Because with the porcupine, the armadillo, and the rabbit, it's all fear. That's why they react the way they do. They're afraid. They're afraid. Now, how many of you think, this sounds really hard? Come on. Nobody thinks this is hard? I think this is impossible. Because everything within me, when someone confronts me and says, you've hurt my feelings, or I don't like you, or why aren't you more like this, or why don't you change to be like this, everything within me wants to rabbit. I just skip the freezing part. I just go straight to the run. Everything within my natural self. I'm not a porcupine typically. I'm an armadillo or a rabbit usually. Everything in your marriage relationship, in the relationship with your kids, with your siblings, with your parents, with your church family, everything within you is going to want to respond either as a porcupine or an armadillo or a rabbit. Well, that's encouraging, Sandy. Thanks for that, telling us it's going to be so hard. Well, I'm not finished. The only way you can effectively love others well is coming back to our first point. We are loved by God. The more that you experience His love, the more you are able to love others well. I speak from experience. I'm telling you, I just feel like I'm growing and learning, and I'm never going to stop growing and learning. I'm not, because He's making sure of it. He's so kind and loving. He's making sure of it. How do we love well? Jesus sandwiched the instructions to love each other right between talking about how much God loves us. John 15:9-11, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. That's how you do it. That's how you love others well, by remaining in His love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. When we can stop expecting others to fill our joy tank, to fill our acceptance tank, to fill our love tank, and we learn what we can control and what we can't control, when we come to terms with that and learn to love each other well, our joy overflows. It overflows. It's only going to happen as we encounter the Father's love over and over and over and over again. Dave, don't ever stop talking about the Father's love. I need it if nobody else does. Yeah, we got a couple more who need it. Yeah. We need to encounter the Father's love over and over and over and over again so we can learn to love others well. God, I thank you for the way you love us. I thank you that you love us to life. And that's not all. You ask us to partner with you in loving other people to life. And so we admit that we need you. We cannot do this on our own. We cannot possibly begin to love well until we experience your love. And so God, we just make ourselves available for you, because I know you want to pour out your love on us. We make ourselves available. We create heart spaces and time spaces and experiences so that you can pour out your love on us, so that we can love each other well. And then next week we'll talk about how to love the world well. Thank you, God, for all that you are and do. In Jesus' name, amen.